Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your bulletin, you'll find a copy of the sermon notes. And then on the other side, there's a section that we've been calling the Sacred Journey, which is kind of a real, comes out of adult catechism. There's a lot of things that in our faith, the nature of God, the nature of spirituality, the origin of sin, the nature of redemption, that sometimes we take for granted. But these are going to be opportunities for you to learn a little bit more about the core of our faith, and what makes it what it is. For the last several weeks, we've been talking, coming out of Easter, talking about how do we help our faith, in the light of what Easter means, how do we help it to flourish? How do we help it to grow and continue to just burst into a faith that is deep and sustaining and really something that is brings joy to those that are around us? And so I kind of thought about this image of these matches, and I said, now, if any one of these matches were to catch fire, what would happen? It would just spread. All of it would spread, because each of these matches has the potential to burst into flame. That's what it was created to do, to bring forth light and heat, to bring forth warmth, to allow cooking, and to allow life to flourish. That's what they were created to do. And I often wonder, as I look at this, as I kind of have really been praying about this image, I wonder, is that somehow what our, you know, the church of our community has really become? You know, a kind of a pack of matches. But when you kind of go through the events that have happened this week, where people have just poured themselves into this yard sale, into a mission, into reaching out across the world, you kind of feel like we are catching flame. But we can do it together. And in order for one of these matches to catch flame, there's a couple of things that have to happen that make it difficult for us to want to do that. If you look at this picture, you find that all of these matches are pretty content. They're self-contained, they're whole, got kind of a pretty color. But in order for them to catch flame, what has to happen? Well, they've kind of got to be turned on their head. They've got to be rubbed against a rough and difficult surface. And they've got to go through a transformation. They've got to almost be used up. And sometimes that process is kind of scary. And sometimes it's something that we would like to avoid. But if you want to have that kind of faith that the Bible talks so much about, or the faith that you've seen in other people, you know, think about people that you know that have had that depth of faith that have helped guide you and said, they really had a deep and abiding faith. That through good times and bad times, they were just so centered on who they were and what God was doing in their life. And so we've been talking about developing a faith catalyst, a faith that is so strong that in our day-to-day walk, we know that God is with us. Imagine if you got up tomorrow morning and started your day, and you knew with beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to be with you every step of the way, so that in all of the good things, and in all of the bad things, you knew God was leveraging these circumstances in order to bring you closer to Him. So how would that change not only the way you saw the events of your day, but how you felt about the day, the things that you said to other people, and how you felt about what was happening in your own life? What difference would it make if you took God with you every step of the way? Well, we've found that in order to have that kind of deep and abiding faith, when you look at all of the saints, all of those people that we admire so much, there are certain things that all of them have in common, things that have so developed them and helped them to grow that we can learn from. And if you want to have that deep and abiding faith, that faith that will sustain you through every season of life, through middle age and through our older years, if you want to have that kind of a faith, there are certain practices, not just spiritual disciplines, but certain things that we need in our life in order to help us to grow. Last week, we started by talking about the number one thing that we have to have in order to grow. Does anybody remember what we talked about? Number one, above all else, practical Bible teaching. You have got to get in the flow of what God has already said and what He has already done. It is our teaching manual. Anybody that goes to school knows that you learn from those that have gone before you. You have to get in touch with other people. I've been kind of amazed lately. If you've been paying any attention to the news, the bombing that have been happening in Boston, and hearing the story of these two young men that kind of took this on, and you hear the story about how, and I don't have all of the details about how they went to, maybe they went to Russia and they really got what they're calling radicalized, right? And think about how easy it is for any of us to be radicalized until we know the truth. Until we know the truth. Until the truth becomes part of who we are. God has said, this is who I am. But how well do we know it? Last week we said, you know, the truth is often like a can of paint. It really has no value until you start to apply it. We have to know what God said and what life is all about, where our destiny is, and then we have to start applying it to our daily life. But there are other things that complement that and help us along our way that will help encourage us not to just be readers of the Word, but to be doers of it as well. And I believe today that if we can start thinking about what has gotten you to this place in your journey, you're going to see some things that have transpired that you say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But that was critical. Let us open up God's Word and find out how is it that God is going to continue to develop in you a faith that is so deep and so profound, people will gather around you for the heat and the warmth that you give. Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Listen to this passage from Acts chapter 8 and see if you can figure out what causes a deeper abiding faith. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candake, which means the queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Well, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, please, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is some water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Then he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this story, for this image of how you continue to reach out through others and to touch our lives and to help us to grow. We thank you, O God, that you have touched our lives through special people, and we give you the glory for getting us to this place and this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about faith catalysts, those special events that propel us forward in a transformational way, those people or those circumstances that shape our destiny, that are a pivot point, something that happened that puts you on a different path. The entire purpose of faith is to develop within us a stronger sense of trust. We've been talking about how trust is so central to our faith. It is the identity that draws us ever closer. We talked last week about how in the fall in the Garden of Eden, the serpent whispered into Eve's ear and said, "You can't trust God. He's holding out on you. He knows that you're not going to die, and he doesn't want you to have all the good things in your life." And so Eve took and ate, and she gave it to Adam, and both of them had abandoned what God had done in their life. If you think about all of your relationships that you consider significant relationships, they are all significant because they have a depth of trust to them that is beyond anything else. Family has a deeper bond through the years of trust that they believe in one another, which is deeper than friendships. Spouses have a deeper relationship, a deeper sense of trust than anything else. It is all about developing that depth of trust. And we can define trust as that reliance on or confidence in the truth, a worth or reliability of a person or a thing. It is faith. And so when we talk about faith, having a faith in God, it's about having a relationship with God, a relationship that's based on trust. And so when we talk about taking God through the daily, through our day-to-day activities, we think about it in terms of trusting all of our day-to-day events, our coming and going, the good things and the bad things, and say, "I believe God is using these events to shape my life and my character. I trust God that even when I can't see his footsteps, I must assume that they're there. I trust him." That is the depth of faith. But so many things get in our way. So many temptations separate us from what God is doing. So our purpose here is to develop that depth of trust. So how does that happen? Well, the first thing that we talked about is knowing what God has already done, staying in the flow of his word through practical Bible teaching. Gather with people that are studying the word and say, "This is how I apply it to my life. This is what it means for me," and learn from them. But most of those things are things that you can do. You can put yourself in the flow of what God is doing. This is one that God does for you. And I suspect that for most of you, this has already happened in some way or another. As we begin to develop, there's something else that comes to pass. It is what I call providential relationships. The first one is practical Bible teaching. The second is providential relationships. Those special men and women who come into your life at a specific point in time to change your perspective on what is happening. Have you ever had that event where maybe you're gathered with some friends and somebody says something just kind of off of the cuff? They're not really saying anything, but it hits you like a thunderbolt. And you go, "Wow, where did that come from?" And it changes your whole perspective. So many times people come after church and they said, "How did you know I was struggling with that?" That is a providential involvement. God is speaking into your life. It's God moment. If you think about your own faith journey, is there somebody in your life that so changed the course of your life? Most of us can barely speak of our faith without saying, "I was growing in the faith, but then somebody said to me, and I started to get involved in an activity, and it changed my whole perspective. They invited me at a particular opportune moment. They invested themselves in my life." Maybe it can be in the good times, or sometimes it can be in a bad time. The people begin to see God in you. Now, in order for us to have a providential relationship, if we look at our story today of the Ethiopian eunuch, I love the way this story begins, because the Ethiopian is on his way home from Jerusalem back, presumably to Ethiopia, And God talks to Philip and says, go and stand by this chariot. Notice he doesn't say, go and start knocking on doors and handing out tracts. Go knock on this Ethiopian and ask him, why is he not in church? He ought to be in church. It says, go and stand by and listen and be ready. God has prepared somebody to go and be for this man. When we talk about providential relationships, we want to talk about people that are able to hear God through us. When you say something, or maybe you've heard somebody that has said something with such clarity for you that it made everything seem reasonable. You know, it isn't just what we say, it's how we say it. It's the gentleness, it's the clarity, it's the humility with which it's said. When I was growing up, when I was going through college, I don't know if they still do this, but a lot of times in colleges, they have what are called street preachers. Does WVU have that? Yeah. They're, you know, street preachers are people that usually stand on the corner and just kind of shout out scripture in almost an attacking, almost an abusive sort of a way. Now, the thing is, they are sharing scripture, but it's how they're sharing it that turns people off. It's in an abusive, it's in a demeaning sort of a way. But when we can come into somebody's life and share a word of comfort, a word of hope, a word of clarity, when we can invest ourselves in somebody else's life and they can hear God speaking through us, it is a moment of providential relation. It is God speaking into their life, reaching out. And so one of the best things that you can do is not start investing and start giving your opinions, but to do what God invited Philip to do. Go and stand beside them and listen. Listen to where they already are. Listen to where they're struggling. Listen to the questions that are already forming, and you will know when to speak. Philip didn't begin by saying, what is an ignorant person like you doing with the scriptures? He said, tell me, do you understand what this is all about? Do you understand the circumstances? Do you understand why these things are happening in Boston? Do you understand why these crazy things seem to be happening in North Korea? Do you understand why there's this angst in our culture over our financial situations? Do you understand why this is all forming and bubbling over? Do you understand why these things are happening? Let me see if I can explain it to you, the nature of human species and our desire to fulfill our own needs. Do you understand what you're doing? When people begin to hear God through you, it puts them on a completely different path. So the first thing that we need to do is think about people that you have heard God speak through them. The second thing that is important is people have a providential relationship when they begin to see God in you. See, it is so much easier to trust and to follow who Jesus is when we see how it's affected your life, when we see how you've put your faith into action, how we've taken all the things that Scripture talks about being generous and being caring and compassionate, and above all, being forgiving, and saying, I want to be like that. I've seen what it's like. I can see people that are really living it out. You have caught fire, and I know it may be hard, but I want some of that in my life as well. A providential relationship is when we are able to put flesh and bones on Jesus' message. We live it out on a day-to-day basis. When we're able to express, these are the values that we live by. This is what it means to be Christian. When they see it in you, they're able to trust and to take that first step. Can you think about your own life journey, about your Sunday school or VBS or whatever it was? And maybe there was a man or a woman or a couple or people in your church, and you just said, they were so kind to me. They were so inviting to me and so friendly. I just really felt like I was part of something. I really felt God's love. I felt, and I saw it in them. I saw how they interacted with one another. I saw that they were a true community. But what's the flip side of that? If we fail to do that, if we fail to express our faith, people see that as well. and they know. When people hear God through us and when they see God in us, they're willing to risk and to come and experience what we know. And finally, when people feel the presence of God through us, when they feel it. I love this passage from 2 Corinthians when Paul is talking about it. He says, "The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." See, God comforts us so that we can comfort those who are in trouble with the same comfort we've received. When we reach out and say, "God has blessed me, I want to be a blessing to you." You know, it's such a joyful thing when people that have lost a loved one, when they're grieving, and they're saying, "It was so healing to have the church rally around with cards and letters or phone calls." When we received the altar flowers, somebody delivered altar flowers, or they remembered me. Or when they came and there was a whole meal prepared for my family when they came, I just felt differently. I felt God in my life. I knew that God hadn't forgotten me. I felt Him through you, through your presence. And so when we invite you to get involved, whether it's with the food pantry or whether it's with the yard sale or the breakfast, we're inviting you into a providential relationship. Now, here's the bottom line. We can provide opportunities for Bible study. We are not able to provide you with providential relationships. God alone will do that. What we can do is provide opportunities for relationships to flourish, for you to get into the flow of relationships and meet people and allow that providential person to speak into your life. If you're ready to take those steps, these are the ways that God invites you into that flow. The first thing from Proverbs 13 is you need to walk with the wise. Walk with those that are growing. Be around those saints, those special men and women, as part of our church family. God says, one day a week, I want you to rub elbows with people that have the same values as you do. Learn from them. Let them speak. And at a critical point, somebody, somewhere, will say something that will change your life. When you cut yourself off from that body, you cut yourself off from that growth that God has in store for you. Walk with the wise. Connect the dots. So many people have questions. They're not sure how all of these circumstances fit together. How do all these little odd circumstances in my life, is God, we look at our life and think it is so chaotic. It has no meaning until somebody comes and they're able to connect the dots for us and say, God is moving you from A to B. Sometimes we are so close to the situation, we can't see the forest for the trees. We need another perspective to help us connect the dots. What's going on in our world? What's going on in your life? Are you sure you're doing the right thing? We need somebody to speak wisdom and accountability into our life. We need to walk with the wise. We need to connect the dots. And we have to trust that God's going to speak. We know that God's going to speak. Sometimes we don't always know what to say, and I get so frustrated sometimes that people feel, I have to know the whole scripture from beginning to end before I share anything about my faith. And sometimes when you just share a bit of kindness or a gentle word, God is speaking through it. There are people that hear more from you in your gentle tone about what God is doing than when you start quoting chapter and verse. Share what God has done in you, and they will begin to see God in you, through you, and feel His presence through you as well. We need to grow, and our faith can flourish, and it can be that rich, dynamic part of our life that everybody longs for if we'll get into the flow of practical Bible teaching and we will connect it with a providential relationship. God will meet you where you are. What you invest, God will accept and move you forward. If you're willing to take that next step, get a part of a group that you can encourage someone else, that you can grow through it, and that God will meet you where you are. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning that you continue to bind us together as a family. Help us to continue to reach out to those that are around us for encouragement and for hope, and to include more in our fellowship. Continue to bless this church, O God, and its mission. In Jesus' name, amen.